certainly thankful this morning for the presence of everyone. We realize that several of you present didn't have a very good week with the flu and other such illnesses, and we're thankful that you're better, but we have others who are out, and Ginger tells me that the hospital is full, and that if you're starting to come down with a temperature, you probably ought to go to urgent care or someplace and get some Tamiflu. Excuse me. Felt that coming along. I said, we got to let this out because it's going to get up sooner or later. But that's just a sneeze. I'm not sick. Sorry about that. It happens every once in a while. But we're certainly thankful that things are as well with us as they are, and it's good to see you. It's always good to have visitors with us. It's good to see Connie with us today. She's taking care of Jonathan and his family as he's recovering from foot surgery. But I'm especially thankful that we have Byron and Wanda Dalton and their daughter Andrea with us this morning. They're from Norwalk, Ohio. They've been here before, but they're very near and dear to Debbie and I. Byron's one of the elders at the Norwalk Church of Christ, but more than that, just a real good friend, and we're just so thankful to have them with us today. Wanda has an aunt and uncle that lives over in Hopkinstown, and they're visiting with them and came over to worship with us this morning, and we're so thankful that we did. It's always good to see them. Saw this cartoon, and maybe you've seen this before too, where a fella takes a job to cut down some trees, and it says, wow, 50 trees in on your first day on the job. And some months later, we see that he says, now I can only cut down a couple a day. I must be getting weaker. And if you look there, his axe is not in real good shape. His boss comes by and he says, when was the last time you sharpened your axe? And he says, I haven't had time for that. I've been too busy trying to cut down these trees. And I can relate to that. We don't use axes so much anymore, but we do use chainsaws. And, you know, you use a chainsaw and it's going to get dull. You can do your due diligence and try to keep the chain out of the dirt and all that, but there's dirt in the wood and all kinds of stuff, and then nothing will dull a chainsaw faster than dirt, and it'll just get dull after a while. Everything sharp gets dull after a period of time, whether it's a knife or an axe or a chainsaw. But I know that I found myself saying, well, I don't have time to stop and sharpen my chainsaw. I got to keep going. But it would have been so much better, you know, if I just did. Easier on the saw and go a lot quicker, and it's not that hard to sharpen it anyway. Well, you might say, well, what's all this got to do with anything that we're supposed to be talking about in the sermon this morning? Well, interestingly enough, in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10, we read, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. So this morning, I want to use for a title of our lesson, Keep Your Axe Sharp. And you might say, well, okay, what are you talking about? What I'm talking about is that, you know, a lot of times we get so busy with life. Everybody's busy, right? Busy, busy, busy. We have to work. We have to get meals ready. We have other things we have to do. We're just busy all the time working. And we never take time to sharpen the axe, to keep ourselves sharp. And we forget who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. Along those lines, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 and then 15 and 16, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Verse 15, he says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Notice he says, take heed to yourself. In other words, Timothy, for our purposes this morning and our lesson this morning, Timothy, you're the axe. Take care of yourself. Keep yourself sharp. Stay tuned up. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Continue to be true to yourself by being true to the doctrine of Christ. Continue in them. Be true to each one. And you'll notice that he says, give attention to reading. So how do you sharpen the axe? How do you keep yourself sharp? Well, you have to keep reading. You have to keep reading the scriptures. You have to meditate on these things. You have to be committed to give yourself entirely to them. And I'm afraid that in our busyness of life, and we talk about the 21st century and how busy we are in the 21st century. Folks, let me tell you something. Things were busy in every century. Everything, we have so many conveniences today that we've forgotten how people lived in Bible times. Life was hard in Bible times. And people were busy in Bible times too, just as we are today. Timothy was busy as an evangelist, teaching others and helping others and all those things. And basically, Paul was saying to Timothy, you need to keep reading, keep meditating, giving yourself entirely to these things. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to the doctrine. You need to keep reading and studying and meditating and putting these things into practice. You know, a failure to read the scriptures always leads to ruin. And there are several Old Testament examples of that. But one that comes to mind is found in 2 Kings chapters 22 and 23, where Josiah is made the king of Judah when he's 8 years old. His father is Manasseh, one of the worst kings of Judah, had introduced idolatry throughout the kingdom. Everybody was practicing idolatry. And Josiah comes along, and he did that which was right. And one of the things he did when he was 16, he told Shaphan to go to Hilkiah in the temple and to search through the temple silver and to pay the workers in the temple. And so Shaphan does that. Hilkiah goes through, and while he's finding the silver, lo and behold, he also finds the books. And he says, hey, Shaphan, look at this. And Shaphan reads it, which he's never read before. And he says, this needs to be shown to the king. And Josiah reads it. And they both lament because they realize how far gone Judah is. Israel's already gone. I mean, the northern 10 tribes, they're already gone in this point in history. And Josiah reads this and he realizes that, you know, if we stay on the path that we're on, we're going to be gone too. And so Josiah begins to do away with the high places, gets rid of all of everything, restores Passover. You know, another incident here in Nehemiah chapter 8, after the captivity and they come back and they rebuild the walls and the rebuilding Jerusalem, and they find the law, and they ask for Ezra to read the law. And so they're reading the law every morning up until noon. And they find as they're reading the law that, oh, wait a minute, we're supposed to keep the Feast of Booths, and we're supposed to keep the Passover. And you know, and you read that, and they say, they weren't keeping the Passover? How do you forget the Passover? Well, you know, you need to remember a few things here. They didn't have this. Okay? I mean, they didn't even have that. They didn't have the first five books of the Bible. You guys, oh yeah, well, they had the first five. Not everybody. Not everybody had. I mean, they didn't even have this to carry around with them. You know, you just need to remember how things were in Bible times. I mean, the patriarchal law was handed down orally from, you know, the heads of the family to the heads of the family and so forth. And you can see how that could get corrupted. But the Mosaic law wasn't a whole lot better, because the only people that had what was written were the priest. And so all it takes is for the priest to become corrupted in their thinking and them not teaching. And pretty soon the whole country doesn't know how they're supposed to serve God. And so if you forget the Passover one year, it's easier to forget it the next year and the year after that and the year. And it's not going to be too long until you pretty much forget about who you are. I find that interesting because, you know, as we partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, as they did in the first century church, as we read about in the book of Acts, as we follow that pattern, sometimes we're criticized by saying, well, if you take of it every first day of the week, then it just becomes too commonplace. And so, how often do you partake of the Lord's Supper? Well, we just do it maybe Christmas and Easter. And who's forgotten the significance of the Lord's Supper? I mean, how do you forget the Passover that was instituted when you, in your delivery from slavery in Egypt? How do you ever forget that? But they did. And when you talk to people today, and I mean, how do you ever forget that the Lord's Supper is to be taken in memory of Christ who died for you and paid the price for your sins? How do you forget that? Well, you just stop reading about it. You don't know what it is. Your concept of the Lord's Supper is just whatever you've been taught in your particular religion about it. So people genuinely do not know what the Lord's Supper is because they haven't read. People genuinely do not know that baptism is for the remission of sins because they haven't read it in the Bible. Oh, they've listened to their teachers who are false teachers, who seem to be sincere and seem to be spiritual, and they've believed it sincerely and consider themselves to be spiritual, but that doesn't change what's written. The failure to read the Scriptures leads to ruin. Now, you can see how that comes about in regards to doctrine and what we're teaching, but it also applies to us personally. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 3 through 4, Paul wrote, By revelation, God made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of God. And we've underlined that aspect, when you read, you may understand. Because for our purposes this morning, we're trying to emphasize the fact that when we stop reading, we stop understanding. When we stop reading the Scriptures, we stop knowing and appreciating who we are and who God is. The relationship that we have with Him and with one another, as it's supposed to be. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16, as this epistle comes to an end, he says, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Read it, everybody read it, understand it, and then share it with your brother in Laodicea, and you read what they have. Some people say, well, what did they have? I don't know. I don't know which letter they had. Maybe there was a letter to the Laodiceans. I don't know. You say, well, if there was a letter to the Laodiceans and we don't have it, then is there part of the Scripture that we don't have? No, I would say that if that was the case, that everything that's in that letter to the Laodiceans, we've got it in some of these other letters that Paul wrote to other congregations. But it could very well be that the letter that the Laodiceans had might have been the letter that was sent to Ephesus. I don't know. Or the letter that was sent to the Philippians. I don't know. But they had a letter, and it was supposed to be read by the Laodiceans as well as by the Thessalonians or by the Colossians. And here in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 27, he says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. Yep, because everybody didn't have their own copy. So it had to be read to them. But we have our own copy, don't we? We have our own copy, and we can read it. And why wouldn't we read it? And what happens when we stop reading? We get dull. We stop remembering. We're unable to give an answer to everyone who asks us for the reason that is in us, the reason for the hope that is in us. We've gotten dull. And so that's why we have reading schedules like we have back there in the track rack above the bulletins and so forth, that you can read through the New Testament in 3 months. And then you can do it again. You can read through the New Testament 4 times in 1 year. Well, do we have to do that? Yeah, we have to do that to keep ourselves sharp. To stand against the strategies of the devil. To be able to share this blessed gospel, good news of salvation that's in Jesus Christ with others. Yes, we have to do that. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I've got verses 3 through 19, but we're actually going to start here with verse 13. It says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, in reverence, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, in reverence for God. Revere God and keep His commandments. Conduct your life here in reverence for God. How do you do that? He says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Would reading help you to gird up the loins of your mind? That's a beginning place. But then you commit your mind to the things that you have read. And you shore up, you strengthen your resolve to do the will of God. Be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, there are false teachers who, I mean, they'll pick right up on that. Rest your hope fully on the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Rest your hope fully on the grace of God. God saves us by His grace. He loves us. He wants to save us. And we could not be saved if He didn't want to save us. And we could not be saved if He hadn't been willing to shed the blood of His own Son to pay the price of our sins. That's His grace. But for us to be in His grace, to be in His favor, we have to gird up the loins of our mind and be sober. We have to be serious about this. We have to make a commitment in our life. On the other hand, we are not to conform ourselves to the former lust as in our ignorance. You see, if you stop reading and you stop meditating and you stop committing yourself and girding up the loins of your mind and being sober and resting fully on the grace of God, rejoicing that He's been gracious to us, if you stop forgetting that and you just get busy with life, your sharpness is going to get into the dirt. It won't be long until the things that you've repented of, that you've turned away from, that you'll be back into them. You'll be conforming yourself to your former lust, as in your ignorance. How'd you get out of those lusts that you performed in ignorance? You learn better. But He says, be holy in all your conduct. Be holy. Why should we be holy? Because He is holy. And we are to be like Him. How do you keep your act sharp? There you go. Keep reading. Keep girding up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Rest your hope fully in the grace of God. And be committed to be holy in all your conduct. How do you know what is holy? You have to read His Word, don't you? It all comes back to that, doesn't it? So, if we focus upon those two aspects, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, and hitting your axe or your chainsaw into the dirt and getting dull, but committed to be holy in all your conduct in your home, as a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a father, as a mother, as an employer or an employee, as a friend, as a brother or sister in Christ. Committed to be holy in all of your conduct. In Romans 13 and verses 11 through 14, we read, do this, knowing that the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day. That takes commitment, doesn't it? We have to keep sharpening ourselves to know what is light and what is darkness, to be able to discern between the two and to be committed to walk properly in the day or in the light. Not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and do not make provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. How do you do that? You have to keep reading. You have to keep reminding yourself of who you are, what God created you to be, what you were doing, and that you don't do that anymore, and there's a good reason for not doing that, and what you are committed to doing, and there's a good reason to do that, to the praise and the honor and the glory of our God who created us and saved us. In Ephesians 5 and verses 8 through 17, it says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Don't keep walking in the darkness. Walk as children of light. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." Now, when we walk in the light of His Word, that's what He's talking about. The light of His Word that we know about is because we can read it. We know what's acceptable to the Lord. "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." How much fellowship is that? None. And the more we read, the more we appreciate the holiness of God, we'll appreciate the holiness that we are to display in our life. But rather, expose these unfruitful things of darkness. "For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things," I just wish it's all those things were done in secret. They're not done in secret so much anymore. People are proud of them. They speak openly and of them and encourage others to join them. Speak evil against those who do good. Yeah, we're familiar with that. That's another sermon, isn't it? "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For what makes manifest is light. Therefore," he says, "awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." See that you walk accurately, as wise. Sharpen your axe. Be wise. Do not throw your axe into the dirt, not as fools. Take care and stay sharp. "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." How are you going to understand what the will of the Lord is if you're not reading the will of the Lord in His Word? You're not. And you allow these examples and these exhortations directly from God in His Word to move you and to change you and to keep you sharp in walking in the light and living to His glory. As we talk about so many times, John 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed on Him, "If you abide in My Word, if you live in My Word," you cannot live in His Word if you don't know His Word. And you can't know His Word unless you read His Word daily. We talk about the Word of God being the bread of life. How long are you going to live if you don't eat? We hunger and thirst after our meals, don't we? We need to hunger and thirst after the Word of God so that we can abide in His Word and be His true disciples and know the truth and be made free. John 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." Have you seen that new commercial, fairly new commercial about, you know, the guy's got one of those doorbells that he can see it on his smartphone, you know, some guy's coming to his, and goes, "What?" He says, I'm a car thief. I'm here to steal your car." "What? What? What?" "Yeah, there goes your car." "A thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly." You know, Jesus didn't come so we couldn't have any fun. Jesus didn't come because he wants us to live a dull life, and he wants us to miss something, but he wants us to miss the things that are going to destroy us. You want to have fun, be good. Live to the glory of God. Live without regrets. Know what His will is and do His will always in all things. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17 says, "The time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel?" The judgment is going to come upon us, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's an open book test. We can know what we're going to be judged on. Are we keeping ourselves sharp? Ecclesiastes 12 and verses 13 and 14, Solomon, by the Holy Spirit, said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's our purpose for being here? Fear God and keep His commandments. This is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." We're busy, 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 aren't we? Maybe we're busy at school. I've got to study this. I've got to study that. We need to put first things first. We need to read the Word of God. We need to know His will. We need to, in light of coming judgment, we need to keep our act sharp. Be reading and committing ourselves to Him. Not conforming to the world, but being holy in all of our conduct. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, and you've been thinking about that and decided today's the day, we're ready to assist you and everything's ready. We'd encourage you to confess your faith in Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins and rise and walk with Him in newness of life. If you're here today and you're a child of God and you realize that your axe has become dull, you're like those in that we talked about back there in the times of Josiah and Nehemiah that just stopped reading and stopped knowing who I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to be doing. Recommit yourself to reading the Scriptures every day. Put it first in your life. But if there's other things that have come into your life and you know you're out of favor with God, He tells us to confess our faults to each other and pray for one another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation this morning in any way at all, would you please come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?